Growing up in a farming community, I just happen to know what a winnowing fork is. I've also had the experience, sometimes not as well, of using one. For those who don't know what a winnowing fork is, it was commonly used to separate, for us, it was either the potato vines from the spuds, and historically it was used to separate wheat grains from the stalks or the chaff. And it's usually done by scooping and tossing it, bouncing it back and forth, and usually the grains will fall and the stalks and stuff will keep going up. So nowadays, though, farmers use like combines and diggers and thrashers to speed up this process. Can you imagine like 5 or 6 people walking up and down the fields we now have? It'd be impossible. Witnessing these big machines during harvest as they roll down Fur Island or Skagit City Road is quite the experience to behold. Then seeing them opening up the fields and the great plumes of dust and fibers that get blown into the air. Watching with anticipation as the chaff comes out in orderly fashion after being separated from the grains. It is a mesmerizing process, which I could watch for hours. For today, the first sight that we have to witness is that we roughly have 3 separate stories being told in this section. The link to all these is Christ, which needs to be used between the images that we have for this week. To aid in the discovery that all these stories that are being told about John, about Christ, are all tied together. Much like when a tractor or a solo combine first enters in the field to get it open. These stories, being all interconnected, tell of the good news, which is God sending Christ to us, who is key to the dig into the ideas of being separated and being redeemed by God. Luke is interpreting and recording these events that occurred with a language that those hearing would be able to understand. Many of them, having worked in the fields, they have witnessed the power of water or have used fire to refine imperfect materials to the purest form. We are not told of the full account what took place before Christ's baptism or the words spoken to John by Christ and vice versa. We're not told of the events when Christ was baptized or of his rising once more. We get but snippets of that larger story. It reads as though to whom Luke is writing to, they was trying to use the maximum impact to hold their attention. Looking back into our text, he told the full story of the prophets and the prophecy that was being foretold of John and of Christ that were being fulfilled. He speaks then to the controversy John experienced in his ministry and the prophesying he did in preparing people's ears and hearts to receive God in a more personal way. Looking forward in our text, Luke ensures those reading or hearing his writings know of Christ's lineage and that he is a descendant of the royal line. What Luke is doing in sharing John's words to those he was prophesying to was to answer those questions of John's origins, of Christ's origins. See, speaking to him being who the God that God foretold about in those past revelations, hinting that John has done the work of parting the wheat from the chaff and preparing the way for Christ. Then it is through Christ, who is God, that the grain will all be collected. Speaking to those who did not respond to John's invitation to take part of this upcoming ministry. Along with those who were hearing God's message from the past, but their hearts remain separated and will be parted from God forever. With Luke using the words that they will burn in unquenchable fire. Moving throughout the pericope, so this text that we've been given today, Luke is trying to record a message of hope that is tied to a different relationship with God, a relationship that begins with the act of baptism. Baptism, which is tied to our hope and our grace that we receive. For those participating with Christ, it is grace and no longer being required to perform the sacrifices of the purifications and the other traditional ways of worshiping and seeking forgiveness from God. Hope and grace that are connected to receiving of the Spirit, who is God and was with God from the very beginning. Hope in this letter is pictured as the dove that descends upon them as Christ is risen in his baptism. The event was recorded by Luke as a communal baptismal, where Christ joined with many who were seeking the baptismal waters and the relationship to God through the sacrament. Being baptized by John, who in the verses we skipped this week, would soon be arrested by Herod for his proclamations against Herod and his brother's wife. Luke also tells of the voice that came from heaven, which declared, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The act of naming and claiming that occurred as Christ was rising from the restoring waters of baptism, transferring the authority to Christ as he began his earthly mission, a voice that wasn't clarified by Luke to be heard by all. However, in the accounts of Christ's baptism from the other gospel writers, it was a clear voice for all who were there to witness. Therefore, beginning within those who heard the act of discipleship to go and tell others what they had encountered. So how does this affect us? There are several ways that we can interpret these words from Luke and apply them into our own lives. What stands out for me this week is the need to separate ourselves from the things or relationships in our lives that do not have a positive impact on us. Those things that try to weigh us down, those habits we need to give back to the fire to be cleansed. And I like how one of the authors I was reading this week wrote that to be a cleansing, baptism is to be a cleansing by which one's life is oriented anew around the service of God, especially in the context of interpersonal relations and care for the poor and in daily occupation. She goes on to say, the Holy Spirit thus far in Luke has been a manifestation of the eschatological blessing and the empowering presence that was critical to God's redeemable mission. So baptism with the Holy Spirit then has connections of the Spirit with the cleansing and purging, and the fire is a way of refining and empowering. Empowering us to act out of our normal behavior when we want to react negatively to the circumstances in our lives that we may find difficult. That giving us vision to look beyond ourselves, to renew ourselves daily in remembering our baptism. To come often to the cleansing waters to be washed and renewed or restored with the grace and hope once more. Purging of our doubts and the negativities and the habits that reflect our relationship with God and in community with one another poorly. It isn't just done within this church building, but we can be restored in any of the waters. We can affirm our baptism as God's beloved children through our adoption on the cross, in our promises spoken by us or by our parents on our behalf, those we confirm as young adults or for the first time as adults, listening to God calling us, receiving the Spirit within us, and living out Christ's mission to all that we meet. This is how all that takes place in this passage of Luke can affect us and be lived out by us daily. Amen.